lying, and Greta Garbo is probably crying, while Robert Taylor is locked in her dying embrace. Chico and Groucho and Chaplin and Lloyd are all super. Sweet Mickey Mouse, Shirley Temple, and dear Jackie.
Let's go to the movies. Let's go see the stars. I'm joined in studio by our resident movie reviewer, regular-sized Kev. Kev, good morning.
Good morning. I'm giving you a regular-sized hello.
All right, we're going through three films this week. Starting us off, a bit of a kids' treat for the kids, I think. It's from the same studios that created Wallace and Gromit, which is a fantastic show, and they've done some other terrific stuff. Early Man is the name of this one. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure thing. So it's set in the prehistoric era where dinosaurs roamed the earth and cavemen also lived on the earth as well. And this specific group of cavemen all live in this crater, a really nice crater oasis. Unfortunately, it's been taken away from them and they're not allowed to live in there anymore unless they can beat a rival group of cavemen who have developed football in a game of football.
Okay, well, this sounds very historically accurate, obviously.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm sure the scientists, the historians were all over this movie.
Okay, so what are we, good for the kids?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty good, pretty decent for the kids. So, as you can imagine, it's done by the same studios that did Shaun the Sheep and Wallace and Gromit, so the animation is absolutely on point. And when you compare it to the earlier work, you can see that it's definitely had, you know, major improvements. There's been major developments in stop-motion animation, which, I'll admit, I was pretty keen to watch this movie because of that. And I'm sure you would want to watch it just for the animation as well.
Well, like,
right?
I say, I think the Wallace and Gromit animation was absolutely tremendous. I've seen a bit of Shaun and the Sheep. It's often playing when I go around to my sister's house for the little nieces. So, yeah, you know, I think they do some terrific work. Any drawbacks?
Yes, unfortunately there are. So with Wallace and Gromit, it's very charming. It's a very charming, nice sort of show, and especially the movie as well. Especially when Wallace just sort of goes, cheese, Gromit, cheese. He endears himself to the audience, right? But unfortunately with Early Man, there were no such instances. It's a bit weird, but it wasn't that charming kind of weird that many British kids' movies are famous for.
Okay.
So, yeah. Some of the adults will probably sort of roll their eyes a bit at this movie.
All right. Well, over the long weekend, Early Man, maybe good for the kids, but, you know, not one of those ones that really hooks the whole family. And next one, talking about the Easter long weekend, we're talking Paul, Apostle of Christ, a biblical drama film.
Yes, we are. So are you familiar with Paul, Apostle of Christ, as in the actual person?
No, I can't say. I have read bits and pieces of the Bible, but I can't say this one sort of rings a bell for me.
Fair enough. So basically his story was when he was a younger man, he absolutely hated Jesus and did anything he could in his power to try and bring him down. But when he had an incident where he fell over and then God actually directly spoke to him in one of his rare instances of, you know, speaking to a person that he's created, then Saul, as he was called back then, realizes his mistake, gets up, and then devotes the rest of his life to repenting and towards serving Jesus and becoming one of his apostles. So the movie itself, I thought, had amazing production values. It felt like this was that they looked at the details of the time period, 10 AD, or around 30 AD, I think, which is when the movie was set, and it looks pretty historically accurate. I didn't really look like they used CGI for the sets, but anyway, that's what I thought of how well the movie was made. The acting as well was pretty good. They got Jim Caviezel as one of the lead actors playing the Apostle Luke, and he did an amazing job at that as well. He's amazing at everything he does, really. but as you may remember, Jim Caviezel also played Jesus as well a good 18 years ago. And so it was a bit of interesting to see him take on another role in this time period.
Okay, fantastic. Any major drawbacks?
Yes, I'm afraid so. So you know how in many action or drama movies, by the third act, there's always one of the main characters getting jailed?
Sure.
So this movie basically felt like it just sort of dropped the audience into that third act. And it just sort of works under the assumption that the audience already knows who the movers and the shakers are of 30 AD in this story. And as a result, it just sort of feels like this movie was written more for a religious audience, people who knew what was happening at that time, and less than for a general audience.
Okay, well, I guess that's kind of fair. I mean, you know, realistically, you need to have read a little bit of the backstory before... for going into this one. I'm actually a practicing agnostic, Kevin. I every Sunday go to a church that may or may not exist.
Yeah, I get it.
All right.
But yeah, so it's a fairly decent film, but I'd say general audience probably wouldn't be too interested in it.
Okay, well, speaking of general audiences, now this is the big one that I think a lot of people are going to be interested in. Ready Player One, it's the latest blockbuster from director Steven Spielberg, who's obviously one of the greats, and it's visually spectacular going off the trailers. It looks intriguing. It looks like one of those kind of traditional hero, Rise of the Hero kind of films. What do we think?
Yes, well, I thought it was a pretty decent film. So basically, just some backstory. It's set in 2035 when the Earth's resources have been depleted, and it's basically a dystopia. So people rely on going into a virtual reality game called Oasis, and you could be anything you want, right? And so there's actually been some sort of very rudimentary versions of that released nowadays. And so people use that as an escape from their really horrid reality. But a company, another company, a rival company, wants to take over this virtual reality by trying to find an Easter egg, getting back to the theme of Easter, and if they find this Easter egg, then they actually get control over this virtual reality that so many people have come to rely on to really get through today.
I mean, the story itself in its own way doesn't sound necessarily original, but I guess that's kind of the point. I guess it kind of is more about the visuals, more about this kind of spectacle of the film than giving us a story we haven't seen before.
Yeah, admittedly, it's like a classic blockbuster. It's not really there just to provide something new, but just to sort of look back at pop culture, what's made, what's become famous in the past 30 or so years. And so in this virtual reality, you could be anyone you want, a famous fictional character or your own made-up character. And so I think that's one of the major appeals in this movie, that you can go and play basically a Where's Wally of all of these famous characters and go, oh, look, there's a character from Overwatch and so on, right? But, you know, it's a Steven Spielberg film. It's got a decent plot adapted from a book of the same name. The acting's good, the directing's good, and the CGI's good as well. So it, from a surface point of view, like, it's a fairly decent film. That being said, it is a pretty shoddy adaptation of the book, Ready Player One. So
You read this in anticipation of this film, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. The book and the movie are very good, but they changed so many things from the book, some for the better, some for the worse. So some of the justified changes that they made, they removed a D&D campaign that the player had to go through to reach one of the hints for to find the Easter egg, which is, I'd say, fair enough. I like D&D, but I feel perhaps a general audience may not be so much of a fan. But some of the changes were unjustified, where The Shining plays a major plot point, and really, this is a movie for a young adult audience. They're really not going to have watched The Shining.
Maybe not picking up on that one.
Yeah, and they also did open up some plot holes, and just from changing so many things around, they didn't really sort of look into the details and so on. And some of the new scenes that they made into this film that weren't present in the book were a lot slower paced than the stuff that was originally adapted from the book.
Terrific. Well, Big Kev, thank you very much.
You're welcome.